Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. July 20th, 2020. "21st Century Woman, Part 2. What is the difference between male and female leadership styles and how do you combine them? If the leader, whether male or female, does not know about the purpose and program of creation and how to lead to what nature requires of us, nothing good will happen. First of all, integral education is necessary, and as a result of it, women will take over more important positions in society. This is the call of time. Before the beginning of the last period, when humanity had not yet entered the stage of final correction through connection and studying the wisdom of Kabbalah, the organization of tens, society was ruled by men. But as soon as we begin to spread the method of integral education and begin to work in tens to restore one common great soul of Adam HaRishon, women come forward. Men will be more involved in the organization of tens and internal structures of society, and women will take on more external leadership. Therefore, I keep saying that dissemination is mostly women's work. The same woman who has always remained in the shadows, suddenly has to go to the forefront and engage in the reconstruction of society. And it is interesting that men agree to this. Nature lets a woman go first, and no one protests. This is a miracle that has never happened in history. And this process has been going on for the last 100 years. A woman has always had a tendency for leadership, but before that it was on a small scale and did not go beyond the house. A man is not able to manage the house, he never knows where anything is. His way of thinking is not adapted to this kind of work, and the woman has always run the house. But over time, there was a change. And this is a consequence of the internal organization of the soul, which is gradually approaching correction. As a result, the light passed from above through the Sefirot Keter, Hochma, etc. to Malkhut, and began to reach the woman more and more. Therefore, women felt that they are more aware of the changes taking place in the world and are ready to express their opinions on important issues. This is no longer limited to knowing where the salt and pepper is in the kitchen. A woman is ready to give advice to men, to her husband, to the government, and to Congress, offering a solution. This is no longer about how to make soup, but how to brew politics. And all because the time has come when the upper light is closer to Malkhut and gave her illumination. So the woman feels able to work with it. She is able to restore order in the world better than a man, as she belongs to the last Sephirah, and by raising the reforming light, she connects all the Sephirot before her. Therefore, she is able to control them all. The man remains in his certain role, and the woman gains the power to control everyone, as she does with children in kindergarten. She handles all the chores. Not everyone can be like Margaret Thatcher or Golda Meir, but nevertheless, any woman has special abilities in management. I think that in our time it is necessary to replace men in parliaments with women. We know that in any place where a woman works, there will be order. The world does not need a man's explosive power, but a woman's moderate, balanced leadership, free from all the petty calculations that sometimes characterize women. A woman who can do everything well, weigh everything correctly, and perceive her country as her home, important and dear to her, is able to reconcile all conflicting currents and parties and balance everything. Only a woman can do that. From CAB TV's Women in the New World, June 30, 2020. Why do we need a virus? Question: how can we realize our unification after the virus? Answer: so that this virus no longer exists. We need the virus in order to form a new unification system. Without it, we cannot do this. It shows what kind of union we must create among ourselves. Now we still do not understand and do not feel it. We look at the virus as a hindrance, as evil, but in fact we will soon rise above it and will work with it. It will indicate where else we need to improve the work in our connection. Question: all people are only waiting for the end of the crisis. How can we prevent the next epidemic? Answer: if we begin to behave correctly based on what we have lived through, if we seek warmer relations and mutual assistance, we will prevent the next crisis. If not, then we are beginning to enter it already now. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 10th, 2020. Painful symptoms of recovery. Everyone is waiting for the coronavirus pandemic to finally end. But this is only the beginning. After all, it must change the thinking of all mankind, a huge mass of completely different people. They need time to digest this state, to feel it, to understand where it comes from and why. It takes time, at least a few more months. By autumn, this condition should already have become familiar. One can even get used to blows, like a chronic disease that a person has already learned to live with. He knows how to deal with it, how to treat it. The same thing will happen with the coronavirus. The system has not yet stabilized and is reacting to the impact with sharp jumps. But gradually this transition process will subside, and the system will take on a new state. We are talking about a mass of billions of people and all sorts of problems. Some suffer from hunger, others from fires, and others from droughts, hurricanes. But we will already perceive these problems integrally, together. Then there will be a period when there will be a shortage of the most necessary products: food, water, medicine, and electricity. All this will lower the demands of humanity, it will force them to become more modest. No one will be eager to fly around the world in search of entertainment. The coronavirus will teach us the wisdom of life. We only need to know that we are in an integral system that is moving toward a new state of balance, originally planned in nature. Now this process is developing, bringing us different states. If we support the development process, then the states will be good, and if we don't support it, then the states will be bad in order to correct us. Nothing happens by accident, but only for the purpose of correction. If we check what is happening today relative to the final goal, we will find that there is a constant relationship between the current state and the end point. Therefore, it will be easy for us to see that everything is being done purposefully. The main thing in this process is an ever-increasing connection. Now we are divided, opposites to each other, and therefore we suffer so that suffering will push us to connect. But as we connect, we will come closer to correction. And the final correction is one man with one heart and love of your neighbor as yourself. We do not want this connection and do not agree with it, but nature guides us from state to state until we agree and are convinced about how good it is. Just as children first quarrel and fight until they grow up and become wiser. The coronavirus pandemic is given for our cure. At the end of this period, we will be much healthier and our relations will become much kinder both between people and between countries. Now the borders are being closed due to the pandemic. But we will come to the conclusion that all countries will be recommended to destroy all weapons because connection is the only salvation that allows us to get out of the problems imposed on us by the coronavirus. It turns out that the virus is not a disease, but symptoms of recovery. This is how it happens with every disease. We do not feel the disease itself, but the reaction of the body, which is trying to recover. Painful symptoms are signs of recovery. With the help of the coronavirus pandemic, the Creator shows us the way. The coronavirus propels us forward. It is only necessary not to evaluate it sensually and hide, but do the right homework with its help. That is, first distance ourselves from each other, as it demands, and then check in what form we can get closer. If I could consider others and think only about them and not about myself, there would be no problem with the virus. I could easily go outside and go anywhere, because if I care about my neighbor, I will not harm him or transmit the virus. And so it is all around. People still do not understand it right now, but in a few months it will be clear that the coronavirus wants to organize the right connections between us so that everyone thinks about the others. And then we will all be healthy immediately. From the Daily Kabbalah Lesson, July 9, 2020. Michael Leitman, on Quora, what are some of the best skills for the future? As our society becomes increasingly interconnected and interdependent, our good future depends on our development and sustenance of considerate relationships. Also, since our egoistic human natures continually grow, making it harder for us to be considerate toward each other, then caring attitudes will indeed become necessary skills that we will need to learn in order to survive and prosper healthily heading into the future. Further supporting the idea of the need to develop considerate attitudes to each other is that technology will become increasingly sophisticated, taking over more and more of the jobs that people are required to do today. We will thus have the ability to supply for our life's essentials with much less time and effort than we currently do. So as more labor will shift from humans to machines, and more time will free up, we will need to learn how to get a grip on our growing egos, to learn how to manage them so that they will not lash out and harm others, and also to learn how to develop mutually considerate and positive relations above our egos. By exercising positive relations as a new skill that we regularly develop and sustain, we will discover a whole new kind of harmonious social life that we cannot currently envision. It will emerge not only from our motions to connect above the ego that moves in an opposite divisive direction, but our revamped social connections will surface the force of connection that dwells in nature, since we would then be more balanced with nature. We would then experience much more satisfaction, happiness, confidence and good health in our lives. Michael Leitman, on Quora, will the coronavirus change how humans interact forever? The coronavirus is indeed making us undergo serious changes. Our behaviors, thoughts, ambitions, hopes and expectations have already changed, showing us that the coronavirus is not merely a tiny physical particle that infects us. The coronavirus is rather a new program that has entered our reality, transforming us behaviorally and psychologically. The longer the pandemic lasts, the more it will make us reevaluate our values, tastes and attitudes. It is as if we have walked onto a bridge between the heavily materialistic pre-coronavirus world, where we viewed individualistic accumulation of wealth, fame and power as signs of success, and the understanding that such values hold much less worth as we move deeper into the pandemic. If we could take a step back for a moment from the vision of the coronavirus as only being an infectious disease, to the coronavirus as a nature-sent evolutionary phenomenon that has emerged specifically to transform human interactions, then we would see how nature is subtly guiding us to improve our relationships and connections. Such a view stems from understanding how nature develops us, through increasing diversity and individualization, then through stages of crisis, which then become resolved by cooperation and connection on more advanced levels. Evolution biologists such as Elizabeth Sartorius have illustrated this process of nature guiding its parts to greater connection and more evolved life forms, and it is consistent with Kabbalists' depictions of nature's purpose and plan, which is for humanity to positively connect as a single whole, and by doing so, reach balance with nature. The more we develop, the more interconnected and interdependent we become. The problem is that we fail to actively upgrade our attitudes to each other in order to realize our increasing connection positively. Therefore, nature has sent the coronavirus primarily for the purpose of teaching us a lesson in caring about each other. For instance, we now need to wear masks in order to not infect others, in case we unknowingly carry the virus. In other words, we wear masks not for our own health, but for the health of others. And our own health depends on others caring about us in the same way. Also, in the economic realm, as the coronavirus has struck a blow to many businesses and jobs, It is forcing us to consider everyone who encounters a tight situation, and think of new solutions so that everyone can at least have their essentials met. Authorities thus also become compelled to think and act with more consideration toward their respective publics. In times of nature-induced crisis, people come together out of necessity, and the coronavirus pandemic is like a drawn-out crisis that ultimately serves to improve our attitudes to each other. The sooner we understand that mutually responsible and considerate relations are the next phase of our development, and make active steps to help each other act more responsibly and considerately toward one another, then the sooner we will match the more advanced state of connection that nature is guiding us to, and we will then have no need for pandemics and other crises to unwillingly coerce our transformation. Therefore, since the coronavirus has already begun a process of changing the way we interact, we would be wise to adhere to the conditions it places before us, and seek how to think and act more considerately toward others. It will be our ticket to exit the pandemic and enter into a happier, safer and healthier world, more balanced with nature, where we will be more aware of what nature ultimately wants from us. It is my hope that we undergo this shift more actively, and thus, faster and more enjoyably, than if we were to continue leaving it up to nature to go does there. New Life 1174. The Human Ego, Love, and Relationships.
Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. And today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about ego. Ego is a force that nature made in man, and we'd like to learn how to correctly work with it. Tal, please. Yeah, many people make efforts to kill their ego, rise above it, get rid of it. Some meditate, some take drugs. There are many different methods and techniques of how to work with the ego. Because today, people simply understand that the ego is killing our relations. People simply feel that the ego does not allow them to reach peace, tranquility, a good connection. And today we'd like to talk a bit about the role of the ego in our relations and what can we do about it. So, first of all, we'd like to understand how is our ego expressed in the relations between us. We know that people can do different exercises, but eventually, when we're with another person, it's really hard for us to control it. Why does the ego ruin our relations? Because, says Dr. Lightman, it positions a person in such a situation where he wants to exploit others all the time. When I look at others, then it's only through the eyes of how can I use them to my own benefit? How can they do something for me? How can I step on them? In different ways. And so eventually it kills people. It corrupts students in a classroom, ourselves at work, in life, also in our relationships and everything. The ego simply ruins all of our relations and relationships in such a way that two friends or a couple, husband and wife, or not even husband and wife, but a man and a woman simply can't. And whatever state we look, we see that the ego does not allow him to get along in a good, nice, comfortable way. To lead a good life, humanity is engaged in this all the time. Were we to live like animals, that everything would have been arranged according to who's stronger, more powerful. If this would have been the hierarchy, everything would have been fine. Were we to live under a king? But no problem. A king is a king. And I'm under him. And then everything more or less would have been fine. People would have accepted this governance. There would have been this hierarchy, a corresponding hierarchy, and it would have been very clear. But from the moment we start further developing and we want to breach these boundaries, then we no longer know how to correctly use who's more, who's less, and altogether how to use each other. Tal, can our ego love? Without correcting our ego, can we reach a relationship of love between spouses or Dr. Lightman? No, we can't. Once we're talking about love, the kind of love we mean is that we provide each other with sexual services or toward children, but that's already natural, that nature forces us to be that way. But really, the concept of love isn't the way we would like to see it. What is love? Love means that I love the other in my desire more than I love myself. That's considered love. And we see that there is no such thing. It's impossible, Dr. Lightman. Sorry to say, but no. Because we are incapable of rising above our will to receive, above our self-benefit. If I see that it's to my benefit, then I love the other, just like I love some soup or chicken. I used to do this exercise with my daughter when she was little. You like this fish? Yeah. Then kiss it. It's right in front of you, on your plate. Go. She can't. Why not? You just said you love fish. So, what's the game? That it is clear to us in what way we love. Why can't I say that this is how I also love my wife, my children, in general, everything in the world, whatever I say that I love it. Egoistically, that it gives me pleasure in a special way, through some special conduit. I like music. So, it's obvious how I like it. And so on. It is all to my own pleasure. And therefore, it's not what we consider as love in terms of thinking to the benefit of others. It's not to their benefit. It's to my benefit to do so, and therefore I do something to their benefit. Like with children, I buy them something, I take care of them, because in that I feel pleasure. And once I no longer relate to them as my children, then it disappears. I have no drive to do something for them, think about them. Tal. So it's an instinctive drive that I have from nature. Okay, so the next stage is that we understand that maybe the ego is our number one enemy as spouses, as a family in general. So what's the next step? Should we kill our ego? Suppress it? What's the right definition? What should we do with it? Be in control of it. To control it. Meaning, not to suppress it for sure, not to kill it for sure, but to use it correctly. Because everything created by nature, we have to use all of these things correctly. So if on the levels of the still, the vegetative, and the animate, my body works automatically, knowing what's good and what's bad for it, then on the human level, which is above the still vegetative animate, the human level, meaning the speaking degree, There, I don't know how to activate myself, how to operate myself. I have to learn. What should I do in order to be connected in a good and nice way with others? Why good and nice way and why with others? Because that's how my ego works. My ego works in such a way that I will relate only to the still vegetative, animate, and human beings in a way that I want to use them to my own pleasure, to my own benefit, or that I derive pleasure from using them and suppressing them, that it doesn't really delight my body or something, give it pleasure, but by suppressing them, this gives me pleasure. There's really using the other here in a way that it doesn't benefit me naturally, but it gives me pleasure indirectly, that I enjoy suppressing the other, that I'm superior to them. This is the real ego. Tal, so what does it mean to invert this situation, the state, correct it? Dr. Lightman, that I serve the others? Very simple. If I can relate this way to everyone, that I suppress them, and naturally, this is how it is. This is how my evil inclination makes me act, that I can position them to my own benefit, so I can control them. So I can also do the opposite. I can use this lever in order to serve them, fulfill them. Tal, how do I do it practically, suppose in a relationship? So what am I supposed to do now, opposite to what I usually do? How do I reach a state where I serve? Sounds kind of distant. Dr. Lightman, you serve, you do it, as a mother, as a wife, as a woman, but you do it because it gives you pleasure. That because of that, you have a family, children, a husband, a home, and so on. So you're willing to pay for it. But were you not related to them this way, connected to them that way? You're not connected this way to your neighbors, right? Why don't you do it there? It's obvious. It's as if disconnected from our cost-benefit calculation. Dr. Lightman, true? And therefore, what we need here is to bring a person to a state where he feels that the entire world is his family. And then he has to relate to everyone, to treat everyone the way he relates to himself, to his family. This way, we will gradually be able to come closer to the understanding. The realization is still far from us. That's another stage. But at least we could start understanding why did nature create an ego in us, and in what way should we work on ourselves with ourselves in order to invert it, like with a crane, to invert this bad into a good force. Tal, most of the people can't deal with the amount of personal problems that they have or the problems that they have in their family, so how will a person be able to deal with the problems of his neighbors, of the entire world? Dr. Lightman, the moment we start relating to the world as to one family, we suddenly feel that we're full of strength, understanding, feeling of how should we behave correctly and how to get along. Really, how to get along. Suddenly, we have the power to do it. We have the intellect, the emotion. No problem. Tal, where does the force suddenly come from, the intellect, the emotion? Dr. Lightman, because we want to use the ego oppositely, so instead of the bad limited force, that always makes us feel that this my family, and this mine, and this not, and this isn't, and so on, suddenly I feel that I'm free, that I can use that same force, but in a good way. And then the entire world seems to me as a single system. And in that system dwells one upper force, which is the force of love and bestowal. And I also want to join it and live with it. Tal, I'm not going to serve my neighbors in the same way that I serve my household. It's irrational. Something's missing. How is it expressed that I love everyone as a family? Dr. Leitman, the expression in the meantime is that I start learning these things. I start understanding how did nature arrange these things. That I start seeing how should we integrate with each other. Tal, what do you mean to integrate? Dr. Leitman, how should we be connected in one system that we call in Hebrew Adam HaRishon, literally meaning the first man? How can we reach a state where we're simply included in each other? Tal, how does that happen? I know that people meditate in order to try to rise above the ego, take drugs, do different things in order to try to release themselves of the shackles of me and others. So what can a person do? Suppress his ego and start feeling that everyone's his family? How does it happen? Dr. Leitman, it's a matter of a group and studying in a group and doing different exercises where we learn how to connect until a person gets this feeling that he is in the system of the upper nature. Tal, is there some kind of exercise that a person can do in order to come closer to that? Dr. Leitman, only exercises inside smaller groups where a person learns how to do that. Tal, what kind of exercises? Dr. Leitman, connection, men with men, women with women, children with children. Learning how to connect, this is how they start learning what nature is demanding of them and to what extent can they really realize the orders of nature in order to reach a state where we live in a world without hate, in a world with connection, and people then start feeling that they're starting to attain a higher world, meaning a reality that surpasses the ego and wars, and then it's clear to them that everything depends on the measure to which a person has intentions outside of himself, outside the ego. That the ego is really is a real asset of ours, a tremendous asset by which we can rise above our own nature. And this asset gives us the feeling that there is another opposite reality and that we can reach it. Oh, and this is the purpose of man's development, to reach this opposite reality? Dr. Leitman, yes. Oh, and what is it? And how is it related to the ego? It's the opposite of the ego, and therefore our ego gives us the possibility, opportunity to acknowledge it and do something above it. Owen, now this opposite reality is a reality in which these forces of love, of being able to feel that everyone is like my family, exist in it? Dr. Leitman, yes. Owen, so that's why it's opposite. Instead of feeling only my own family or myself, I feel everyone as my family. Okay, this is the great purpose of man's development, Dr. Leitman, the greatest. Oh, and now a person that meditates in order to reach the feeling of that opposite reality where everyone's like his family and he loves everything and everyone, and he really feels that way. How is his feeling different than the feeling of a person who works on advancing toward this opposite reality in a group? Suppose meditation is something that I do by myself. It's individual. And here you're talking about working in a group. So what's the difference? Dr. Lightman, because in a group, and working on it in a group, you really rise above the ego. Oh, and what do you mean by really? Dr. Lightman, that it's not an illusion. You learn together with them how to invert the negative into a positive force. Whereas in all meditations, you're closed inside yourself, and only by the power of your imagination and your inner effort, you as if try, as if not to be under the control of the ego. You're not getting any kind of forces from above. Sure, you kind of, or to some extent, disconnect from the ego, but it's not that you work with it in a way that you're building a new system here. And the fact that all those that are engaged in different meditations and all of these teachings, they're not connected with each other. They're not connected with each other. Each is sitting in his own corner, meditating, and that's it. Oh, and people experience enlightenment, a different world, higher world. Doctor, like, no. It only seems to them that it's a different world. They experience disconnecting, detaching from their earthly corporeal ego, and they feel better. That's true. But it does not give them the ability to act in the upper world, to feel the upper world, to understand how to enter it, how to act in it. Not at all. Tal, what happens in the interaction and the relations between people in the group that enables this, Dr. Lightman? Because our ego, when it works man against man in oppositeness to each other, it shows us how much we have to invert our ego, the negative force toward each other, into a positive force, something that actually doesn't exist in any other method. There you don't have inclusion. There's no connection between people for them to be in a group as one. Tal, what does it mean to be as one? Dr. Lightman, as one, it means that they really reach a state where they can say that we're in one body, we're as one. No, everyone sits in their corner without connecting with others, in introspection, trying to disconnect from their small ego. Tal, what happens to a person's sense of self? Oh, we said that the ego is the need to be appreciated by others and so on. What happens to a person's sense of self when he rises above the ego? He loses this need? Dr. Lightman, a person that rises above the ego according to the method of Kabbalah feels that he comes closer to others upon being rejected from others. These two forces work in him as one. And then, when he comes closer to others in this way, meaning his ego's working, he doesn't suppress it. It's an ego that grows all the time, and above that ego, he connects to others. Meaning his desire to receive grows, and his desire to bestow, to love, to connect, also grows above that. And so what happens is that love covers all crimes, that in that way he really connects to others. And by that, he puts his ego to death. What does it mean to put the ego to death? That he inverts it into the opposite, into connection, into the force of love. Because we don't have the force of love. We don't have a positive force in our attitude toward each other. But only this way, a person really inverts it, this negative force, into a positive one. Oh, and so you just also talked about putting the ego to death. Many cultures talk about this. Many people that do different kinds of trainings, they talk about the death of the ego. It's not something that's unique to the wisdom of Kabbalah, but previously, nonetheless, you distinguished the kind of work that the wisdom of Kabbalah teaches about the ego from other methods. Dr. Lightman, in other methods, there's no putting the ego to death, but only suppressing it, that you don't feel it, that as if it doesn't stand in your way. If you sit in lotus posture on some mountaintop meditating, then of course you don't feel any connection to others, and nothing uncomfortable from others, you toward them, they toward you. As you know, to this day in India, you have billions of people that are very harsh toward each other. Everyone thinking only about themselves, inside themselves, and the caste that they had all the time, and the differences between people, nothing disappeared. Oh, and I'm not talking about the general public. I'm talking about the unique individuals, sages. They talk about disconnecting from the ego, putting the ego to death. What's the difference between what they say about putting to death the ego and what you're talking about in the wisdom of Kabbalah? Dr. Lightman, that all in all, they put themselves in conditions where, with the help of meditation and all this introspect, they don't feel that the ego is standing in their way. That's it. Whereas the wisdom of Kabbalah, it gives you the opposite state. Your ego grows all the time, grows. And you, above the growing ego, have to build ties of love and connection. It's a different, opposite method. It's opposite to all other methods. Why does it grow all the time? Dr. Lightman, it grows because I use it more and more, only in an opposite way. I use it like bricks when building a building. I look at it as the substance of creation that I need. Tal, I kind of lost what the ego is. It's my desire to control others, use them, be superior to them. Dr. Leighton, so I invert it into its opposite. Tal, this need grows in me every time. Dr. Leighton, I love the ego and I use it more and more all the time, only in a way that upon, atop that, I love the other more, and then anyone greater than his friend. His desires are greater than his, so it says, meaning to the measure to which I succeed in being above my ego, nature adds me more and more ego. Tal, does the ego end sometime? Dr. Lightman, yeah? Owen, so up until now you said that coming out of the ego, putting it to death, disconnecting from it, loving others, there's that. And there's working with the ego, increasing it, and also loving others. So what's the difference between disconnecting from the ego and loving others, and many religions and beliefs and methods talk about that, and increasing the ego and loving others still? Everyone talks about love. Dr. Lightman, no, you only talk about love. Where do you see this love? Owen, I met many sages in India. I'm not talking about the general public. I'm talking about more unique individuals that are more developed. They talk about love. Dr. Lightman, so they talk about it. Owen, all religions talk about love. So there's nothing new in talking about love, that you have to treat the entire world like a family. Plenty of people think that. The new thing here, I think, is that there's the matter of the ego. Do I increase or decrease it? Dr. Lightman, yes. If I can use it correctly, then I increase it. My question is, if you've increased the ego instead of putting it to death and added love to it, what does it do to the love? Dr. Lightman, then I have to increase the love in order to control the ego. Owen, is it qualitatively a different kind of love already? Dr. Lightman, of course. Suppose you and your wife, you had a good relationship, everything was fine, and suddenly the ego erupted. Something happened in your relationship. What do you do? Owen, unpleasant to say, Now you're working on how to cover the ego that grew between you and that's separating you, how to cover it with love. Dr. Leighton, and then you love each other again? Owen, and what do you want to demonstrate by this? Dr. Leighton, that then you, in your intellect and emotion, understand that now you're going with your eyes open to increase your love in order for the ego to be beneath it. And in that you succeed. Owen, so the more a person's ego grows, it's a potential to increase love and raise it to a completely different level? Dr. Leighton, true. Owen, thank you very much, Dr. Leighton. Thank you, Todd. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.
Out of the impasse. Question. Suicide is the most extreme step of despair. Today the number of suicides is simply sweeping the world. Why is this so? Answer, a person living in the modern world is in despair because he doesn't feel any meaning in his life, he doesn't see a goal, and he doesn't even see the reason why he has to suffer in this world. On the other hand, a person is so developed that he understands everything that happens and everything that might happen, and thus eventually decides to put an end to it. What's the point in living and suffering if it is possible not to exist and not to suffer? This certainly makes sense. Of course, no one says that this is the right decision, but it certainly makes sense. So if a person discovers that he can reach a perfect life in this world, in our world, knowing and understanding what he lives for and how everything works and that there is a perfect and eternal goal ahead of him that he can attain, it will be possible to change the negative statistics significantly. This is the way out of the impasse. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, November 24, 2019. If the ego is not harmful. Question. What does egoism mean? Answer. Selfishness is self-love. It's not such love as when I think about simply being, but when I love myself beyond what is necessary for existence. Question. But if the Creator sends me all thoughts, then what is my egoism? Answer. Naturally the Creator sends you selfish thoughts. He does not hide it. He says, I created selfishness. And then he adds, and I gave a technique for correcting it. Question. Where does the root of the need for comfort come from? Answer. From the same egoism. Selfishness does not want any difficulties. They are a waste of calories, mental and physical strength. It does not appeal to any living organism since any living creature seeks a state of rest. And mechanical objects gravitate to this. Question. What will happen to places like Las Vegas that are built only to receive worldly pleasures? Answer. In principle, there is nothing wrong with that. If I do not harm others, and at the same time do not cause them hatred, then all these toys can be completely harmless. As children constantly play games, so adults play the same games. Only adults are interested in playing with each other for money, so that there is some excitement. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 10, 2020. Blitz of Kabbalah Tips, November 24, 2019. Question. I have 5 brothers and 5 sisters. Now all the boys in my family are falling ill and one of them is in critical condition. I pray all the time, of course, and I know this force. Will my prayers help or do my brothers need to do it on their own? Answer. Both are necessary, both your prayers and their prayers. Question. You say that I need to feel the world both inside me and on the outside, and that basically everything is inside me. What is the difference between inside of me and outside of me? Answer. Of course we feel everything inside us, but this feeling is divided into an internal feeling and an external feeling. This is the reason that we feel we exist in space, in volume, we in this volume. Question. Is atheism spiritual attainment or a distortion? Answer. It has nothing to do with the wisdom of Kabbalah. The wisdom of Kabbalah has nothing to do with religion in any way. Question: are we required to perform certain actions once the desire to determine that everything stems from the Creator appears in us? Answer: yes, you need to perform certain actions. If we really try to determine that everything stems from the Creator, we need to gradually connect to the friends in the group and the whole world. Question: do I need to actively participate in the management of creation, or is it enough for me to accept it and to be an observer and grateful for the Creator's work? Answer: you don't have to be active and perform certain actions, but try to reveal that everything stems from the Creator in all your actions, thoughts, and feelings, and that He aims you to the connection with Him. Question: how does the awareness that only the Creator rules help me attain the attribute of bestowal? Answer: when you draw the Creator's force unto you, He bestows unto you and gives you that attribute of bestowal. Question: when I look at other people and the importance and the yearning that they feel, do I need to want the same thing they consider to be important? Answer: if you want to exit your state quickly, you need to prefer everything that is done by your friends and see it as the most important thing. Question: what do we need to do in the women's group so that everyone will discover that everything stems from the Creator and will forget about ourselves? Answer: read more articles in Shamati, be with us in the lessons, and care not only about the women, but also about the men in your group. Question: what is the connection between a person, the Creator, and Satan? Answer: Satan is the force that is in every person that does not want to reveal the Creator. There are no external images of Satan. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, November 24, 2019. Opposition to Unity, Part 8. The Unity of Different Forces. Question: the 12 tribes of the people of Israel were forbidden to mix between each other. On one hand, they were supposed to be united, and on the other, they had to fulfill a ban on marriages between members of different tribes and other prohibitions that are logically against basic unity. You explained that each tribe, just like a certain organ in the body of an organism, could not mix with the others, but they all worked in unison. Are the internal laws of the Torah the same as the laws of nature only at the level of society? Answer: of course. In general, in all of nature, at all its levels, there are different forces, and they do not become one, but in their connection, they appear as a single whole. The operation of the entire world system called Adam, man, was established in order to bring the system to a state similar to the Creator. Then there will be absolutely no difference between the internal connection of forces. Moreover, within the system, its individual properties, individual forces will be completely different from each other, and their interconnection will be one and only. It turns out that everything depends on the intention. What is the purpose we are doing this? But the properties themselves do not change, they are always opposite to each other. From Cab TV's Systematic Analysis of the Development of the People of Israel, July 29, 2019.